Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good. You know, I was thinking about last night. Danny said I entered another dimension last night, and I feel like he's right. And then I put these sunglasses on this morning, and it like confirmed it.
Did you like eat marijuana or something?
No, I don't need anything to enter different dimensions. I'm not like you, man. I enter the dimension like on a regular basis. I am the Matrix. Your hair looks great.
Growing out.
I feel like you should, this whole look with the chain and the robe.
Yeah, but I looked really sexy last night, though. Gwyneth is in love with me.
You were so happy. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God. She knows. She just plays you. She's like playing.
No,
she's
like, I felt it was real. There was something behind the words that were like, I felt it. You know what I mean? It's all been fun and games up to this point. And then something got real.
Yeah.
I got to talk to Brad. I got to figure this out.
You should probably talk to your wife. Although your wife is so great. She'd probably be like, I love you. This we can.
Oh, yeah. No, Erin's cool with it. She loves Gwyneth just as much as I do. So this thing could really work if I could just get Brad on board.
Hey, man, I read some article somewhere and was talking about this with Michael Fuge, my man's brother, about the polyamorous relationship is really in, you know.
Yeah, it seems to be hot right now.
Yeah, it's kind of the hot thing.
What's your take on that, though? Why do you think it's trending, so to speak? What do you think is happening in the universe to where, polyamory is kind of in?
Because people are not as comfortable with intimacy. And I think people are having a harder time. This is coming right out of my hiney, okay? I'm vibing with a theory on this, which is that based on this new digital era, that we are probably not connecting as deeply or as comfortable with deep intimacy, especially with the younger generation, as we have or have had to in the past. And this idea of the unit having to be one unit has been so kind of blown apart. Mm-hmm. That the sacrifices that you make to stay in one relationship don't feel as important, I think, to a lot of people. And then it's sort of like, as the evolution of things go, some people probably don't really want to have that kind of intimacy. They like newness. They want the newness of relationships. They don't want to find mm-hmm. themselves having to be faced with like their own intimacy issues. They want to explore.
But do you think then that it's having multiple partners, you can sort of parcel out your intimacy and you don't have to give it all at once?
Yeah, I think that when you have multiple partners, you're not, you know, you, it's like anything. It's like having a closet filled with like different colored dresses. You know, it's like I walk into my closet and I feel great and I feel like I want to wear the pink dress today. And
that's Danny. Danny's the pink dress.
You know, and then tomorrow you might like that pink dress for a good couple months. And then one day you're going to mm-hmm. be like, you know what? I don't want to get rid of the pink dress, but I want to start wearing the blue dress and the green dress.
But isn't polyamory, isn't everyone together? It's not just
metaphor.
Like an open relationship, right?
No, polyamorous is multiple relationships at once, basically.
Like it is. It's not like, so then what is it when...
Let's look this up. Hey Siri.
This happens all the time. I thought polyamorous was like you have a unit with multiple people.
Polyamory means the philosophy of
staying multiple people
are romantically involved with more than one person at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's just basically legal cheating.
It's like it's not legal cheating. Cheating isn't illegal.
Well, morally sound cheating.
It's this idea that you can actually be in love with more than one person at a time, that you can exist in this sort of constantly fluid and open place where love it just flows, man. It just flows.
Hey, man.
Man, like, you know, I love Lizzie and I love Sarah and I love Tommy.
I love Rick, man. I love Rick.
And I love John. You know, I think it's like...
I feel like you could do it.
Oh, for sure. I'm just kidding. I could never. I would be... Well, that's not true. You know what's funny?
Yeah, because you could get something from each man. You know what I mean? Like, you could take something from each person and be fulfilled.
I just want all of our listeners out there to know that Oliver's doing this because Danny is standing right next to me.
Well, but Danny just happens to be our videographer, so he has to be privy to all the shit.
So here's what I think about this.
Top three.
I'm going to be really honest about this, and I actually probably won't cut this out. I have been in relationships and dated people who have been very open about their inability to want to be monogamous or their desire to be monogamous, right? And when someone is really open and transparent about it, it kind of gives you the choice to say, well, do I want to explore this or is this not for me? But they're being honest and upfront about it. It's like when you kind of present yourself with that openness, I think it allows the other person to feel like they're starting off with a like just total honesty, which then makes you kind of go, because I've been in that situation, it makes you go, you know what? I really like this person. I love spending this time with this person. He's basically lowered my expectation of monogamy with him. And I have a choice to see if this is the kind of relationship and I'm going to explore it. And as you explore it, you kind of go, well, maybe I could do this. There is a moment where you go, because it's so honest.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do it. The problem is with me is that then you get like a month or two in and you're like, fuck this.
No, yeah, I couldn't.
Absolutely not.
No.
I need lockdown monogamy. I would be devastated if Danny felt, you know, like wanted to, you know, be with another woman or it was like the worst feeling ever.
Yeah, Danny, don't tell her.
Well, I'll just, if that ever, I always say like, you know, if that ever happens, I'm just out. That's how I am. There's no like saving something with that.
Well, usually it's symptomatic of something, you know what I mean? And it's about whether you want to fight for that relationship. I think that people are so quick now to just throw everything away, not just with cheating, just in general, meaning like, ooh, something's wrong. Fuck you. You're gone. Yeah. On to the next.
That's me. Yeah. I'm like, you know, a big bye. No. Don't do that to
me. But you might be missing out on something.
Great. I'll miss out with someone else.
All right. Danny, you can come live with me.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to emails. Let's talk about other things.
Nah, this was great. We need to do a whole another 3 hours on this.
Yeah, Gwyneth did. She started this whole conversation.
I know. Well, I'm going to give you an update. The audience will get an update next podcast.
Okay, let's...
All right, let's get to the emails.
Okay, so here we go. I'm really going to try not to cry because I know it's just so
Allison
crazy.
Allison always, I don't know, maybe she's got a weird cry fetish. Gives us these emails where it's just like devastating, you know.
Okay.
You go first.
You want me to go first? Okay. Oliver and Kate, I'm not even sure where to start. Your podcast has carried these tired bones through the last year. of the pandemic.
Right now.
I know.
Tired like bones throat, sets it up for
my
something.
Throat immediately started to get froggy, you know. I am 37, a registered nurse, and have seen more grief and illness this last year than I've seen in my whole 15-year career as an RN. I work on a surgical floor, but because of the coronavirus and the influx of patients needing medical attention, I was pulled to the ICU to care for COVID patients for many months. My time in the ICU was scary. I was out of my comfort zone, and I know I took a lot of emotional baggage home to my husband, beautiful 11-year-old son, and strong-willed.
Nothing's happened yet, and I'm like literally getting emotional.
I know.
You know what? But here's the problem. It's Pavlovian. It's Pavlovian. Allison has created a Pavlovian response from us because we know that when it's the email episode, it's gonna happen. So
it's not. And you know what got me was that she called her strong-willed.
Strong-willed. I know. I got tired bones. I was off to the races.
We love you. I don't even know your name yet, but we love you. Okay, and strong-willed 9-year-old daughter, but I'm so grateful for it. You can't help but realize that family really is all that matters. After you have watched people die alone without their loved ones by their side, there were nights I just wanted to cry and go to bed. But instead, I did my favorite thing. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
I feel very emotional this morning in general. I don't know why.
It's because
I'm going off my Lexapro.
You're going off your Lexapro and you're starting to sweat. It's all coming out, which is great. I'm excited for you. And instead, I did my favorite thing. I talked to my mom or siblings on the phone to ground me. I live in Fargo, North Dakota, and my best friends on planet Earth are my oldest brother, Justin, sister, Lauren, and baby brother, Gabe. He is the baby of the family and 10 years younger than me, but he's 6'5", so calling him my little brother always makes me laugh. Because my parents raised us to spread our wings and venture out into this wild world, we all did just that. My big brother lives in Chicago, my sister lives in New York, and my little brother lives in Oregon. We couldn't be further apart, but we are still so close together. My sister had a baby last year, but because of COVID, we've only been able to see her 6 weeks after she was born. She has grown so much this past year, and my sister, and I cry when we talk about all the milestones and daily nothings my family and I have missed. My sister, 2 years my junior, called me one day on one of our pretend like we are together but we aren't walks. We talk and walk. She is in NY and me here in our hometown. She told me about your podcast and said it made her both miss me more but feel closer together all at the same time. It quickly became our new weekly routine. We listen to each podcast. Then the next day she pushes my now 1.5-year-old niece. Wow. God. In a stroller, and we go on our 1,000 miles apart morning walk and rehash the previous episode over the phone, cry, laugh, then usually cry a little more. Listening to the two of you banter, sing randomly, cuss each other out, and say, I love you. love you too, reminds me so much of the relationship that I have with my brothers and sister. It just brightens my whole entire day and makes my heart feel lighter. I found out this month that my sister, her husband, and my baby niece are moving back home after being away for 7 years. They bought a house not even 4 blocks from my husband, kids, and I. Your podcast helped me survive. I know, that's so awesome. Your podcast helped me survive a very emotional, trying time in my career as a nurse and simply as a sibling who desperately misses her dumbass brothers and little sister. I absolutely can't wait to continue our sibling revelry conversations, but this time I will be able to do it holding my sister's hand instead of my phone. Thank you so much for being you and connecting us all in ways we never thought possible. Lovingly and respectfully, Ashley. Oh, I love that one so much. It also, I feel like her writing is so, you know, I was reading something about writing and I forget what writer it was who said, you know, people overwrite. Just tell your story. Just be clear and concise. And I feel like this is how I feel about this letter. It's like I really feel like she was so clear and descriptive and very kind of straightforward ways. And I felt like I feel like I know her. Like, I really know, I know this family.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's also nice to see that people are finally able to sort of get back into each other's circles again. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's an emotional time for sure. We've been lucky, I think, that we've been able to be around each other. But, you know, there's a lot of people who have not.
Yeah.
And so to come together again, I'm sure, is highly emotional and exciting and, you know, geez.
Like she said, you know, her parents wanting them all to spread their wings, and then everybody ends up in different places in the country. It's something like this that does make you want to be closer to your family. You know, before COVID, pre-COVID, I think it was a lot easier to get around, a lot easier to kind of live in different places. And there's something, I think, about this time that makes you, I think a lot of people want to just be in a closer community with their family.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's how I feel. It's like, you know, I was talking to Mom and Pa last night, and we're out in the des. I just have to be near family all the time. But we were talking about where we'd want to live, and that if someone wanted to move, we'd all have to move.
No,
you know.
Look, I've even toyed with the idea of like moving to, you know, Hidden Hills or Calabasas, you know, which is only an hour or 45 minutes away, but still it's like, it's just too far. I mean, it's kind of, I can't, we're only 7 minutes away. So
I know.
I don't know, like, man.
It's 30 minute drive. It's a little too far.
Yeah.
Anything further than 10 blocks from my mom is too far.
I know. We've got problems, but we'll deal with that in another episode of Sibling Rivalry.
Ashley, I just want to say to you, first of all, thank you for doing what you do and helping so many people who, as scared as you were also probably as scared. And, you know, I'm sure you were there for a lot of people who couldn't be around their family. And what you do is a saving grace, and I respect you guys so much. And so thank you for your work. And also to your sister, you know, I just think that that's so great that you guys, like, just making the effort. I love hearing that you, you know, live in different places, but that you actually take walks together. I mean, I don't know, that warms my heart. And then your parents, because honestly, it all comes from your parents. If you weren't raised a certain way to really honor the relationships in your family, then, you know, you might have a different relationship with your siblings. So your parents sound like they are pretty awesome. So, but thanks for writing in. Ollie, are you going to tap that shit?
I'm going to tap that shit.
You
are? I'm
going to
tap the Rocky.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, see, I'm going to tap the Rockies. Coors Light. We're getting into the spring months. Woo! We're getting into the summer months. Not that you can't drink an ice cold Coors Light in the snow, but, you know, it's getting hot here. It's in the 90s
it's
where I'm at.
It's getting hot in here.
It's time to drink a beer that's made to chill.
Yeah,
there's
when
only
you want to hit
only one
the
beer
reset
that is literally made to chill.
Button, Oliver, you just open that Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment.
Well, because here's the thing. I just want to give a little anecdote. We just went on a camping trip and you were there. It was very hot outside. We had the cooler, opened it up. You fold your chairs out. And we literally did this, I think it was about a week and a half ago. And drinking Coors Light in the 90 degree sun. And it was just magnificent. It was magnificent. You drink it when you camp. You drink it when you're at the beach. You could just drink Coors Light anywhere. As long as those mountains are blue and cold, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to love it. So Coors Light is the one that I choose when I need to unwind. I think Kate can agree with me. I said I, but I mean we. So when you want to hit reset, you reach for the beer that is literally made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I personally have been using the Beauty Blender for years.
Oh, you just almost said Booty Blender.
Booty Blender. I've been using that too. But the beauty blender, my makeup artist is obsessed with it. We every day, every morning, I see that little pink beauty blender, and I know it's going to be a good day. It's the number one cosmetic tool in America. It's won countless awards, including 12 of Allure's Best of Beauty Awards. So the thing about the beauty blender, it has to be wet. So you wet this, it's like a sponge, and you wet it. And what it does is it absorbs it differently when you wet the sponge, and it actually gives you a really beautiful skin texture with coverage without having to use so much product. So they have a collection of original pink zodiac blenders, all in the 12 signs, which I really love. Mm,
very cool.
So so they launched a BioPure makeup sponge. It's a sustainable beauty blender made out of 60% plant base of renewable sugar cane, which is great.
Yeah, it's sustainable. That's what's cool too. You know, recycled resins, less plastic in the landfill. They're all made in the USA. They're vegan, cruelty-free, gluten, latex, parabens, sulfates, and
say it
all. Phthalates. Where it's phthalates, but the pH is silent. There just isn't another makeup sponge that can compete with a beauty blender. And now Beauty Blender is offering 20% off your first order on beautyblender.com with code SIBLING. That's 20% off with code SIBLING. Exclusions apply. All right. Hello. Hello, Kate and Oliver and Allison. Nice. Allison, you are coming up in the world.
Shout out.
My name is Rowan. I think that's how to pronounce it. I'm a female, in case the name was new to your ears. I'm a Syrian radio producer, and I live in Kuwait with my family. I've always fought the idea of podcasts until the lockdown happened early last year, and everyone started caving into a new reality, and we miraculously gave everything a second chance, and I'm glad I did. I remember hearing about this podcast when you guys were on Ellen, and because I love your family dynamic, I decided to start with your duo project, and my first episode was with the Fosters. Sorry about that. And I was hooked ever since. I've always loved you, Kate. I think whenever I see your face on a movie poster, I hit play immediately. Oliver, you're so funny and beautifully vulnerable. I respect your straightforwardness, and God, you have a good face. The end.
Oh, Rowan just like, you know, gave you a little boost there.
I listen to your podcast on my runs, and it really makes me think of my siblings' bonds. I'm the youngest of four. I would say I'm the closest to my sister, but it's really not that close. When I reflect after the show, I get a feeling of, oh, I wish I had that with my sister and two brothers, but I actually never act upon it. I take the blame on that because they're all very nice and they show interest in being close to me, but I always distance myself. Part of that could be due to the differences in the way I lead my life and the principles we sometimes disagree on. In our culture, kids never leave their parents' home unless they're traveling for work or college or getting married. So having all my siblings around me made me kind of cruel and constantly irritated by the cramped space. Also, as a family, we don't display love emotions. So when we do, in special occasions like Eid or birthdays, it gets a bit awkward, at least to me. Whenever I finish listening to an episode of your podcast, I go home after my run and plan to talk to my sister more and spend some quality time with my mom. But I really fail once I arrive. I tend to head to my room and stay there for hours. I also notice that I love everyone more when they're not physically around me. That's why I never travel with them in the summer, because I just enjoy my time alone here. I keep reminding myself that one day I might regret this and that I should appreciate them around me while they're here. But I don't know why it doesn't come that easy. Sure thing is, sibling revelry makes me rethink my selfish demeanor and helps me cherish these family bonds a bit more. Mm-hmm. Love you so much.
Mm. It's so, I love this. First of all, Rowan, thank you for writing in. But this is so interesting because culturally it is clearly so different from, you know, how we grew up. And that must be so challenging, especially like it sounds like she really pushes against that traditional way of living, and she just can't handle being around it.
But I guess what are the reasons? You know what I mean? I wonder what those reasons are, or if it's just sort of who you are. This is personally, you just want your own space, or is there something else brewing there, you know?
Sounds like she feels like a rage against the machine. A little fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, you know? But it sounds like she has a great family. So it feels very internal for her. And
I know. I mean,
very fascinated
by
this.
There's a lot to this story in a way.
You know, I mean, I want to get into this one. It's like, I want to actually like talk to her, you know?
I know.
I wonder if we should do that, where we have episodes where we actually talk to these listeners and ask them questions, just them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if, I don't know if it's about her, you know, and how she feels, or if it's brought on by something within her family, or if it's just like, hey, this is who I am. I mean, at that point, how do you square that? It's like, I, you guys are great. I just don't really want to be around you.
Close your robe. Can you? It's disgusting. You're like clearly naked. Just close it. It's like so.
You can't see anything, though, you know?
I know, but...
It cuts off right at the perfect place.
Oh,
next
my God.
On Sibling Revelry.
Like, we should actually invite some of these people who've written in and see. We don't have to show them. They can be totally anonymous, but actually talk about whatever these things are and see if in some way we can, like... armchair therapy.
I'd love that.
You know, and just say, listen, here's the disclaimer. Don't listen to anything.
We don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
So we could give you advice, but you don't have to take it. Okay.
In fact, you're better off if you don't, but here it is.
Because this is really interesting. I'm really intrigued. It sounds like she's longing for a close relationship with her family that she really struggles with. And she recognizes, what I like about it is that she recognizes that it's her own issue.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
She takes responsibility. It's cool. I mean, it's like, look, I've got the issue here. I
that's the first moment of change, I think, when you want to change, when you want to shift anything. It's like what they talk about in AA, you know, the second you have to not be in denial. The denial has to go away. You have to stop blaming other people. You have to take total accountability for your own actions.
Yeah.
And I think the same is applied to every relationship that you have, is that you can't really move and transition if you're not taking full accountability for yourself and your actions.
Yeah.
So it sounds like she's doing that, which I love. And Rowan, I'm grateful that we can bring you some sort of, I don't know, desire to want to connect and have an even stronger relationship. And it sounds
and
like
again,
they love her very much, you know?
From the sidelines, too. It's like, maybe just force yourself, you know, break through that angst of, ugh, I don't want to. Get yourself into the place with your family, and then things might shift, you know?
Right. Or ask, instead of wondering why, like, I just find myself being cruel, ask yourself what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that moment when you want to, like, run and walk away, like, kind of try to connect with what the feeling is and where it's coming from. Because I think our reactive nature can go, it can be so quick that we forget to kind of really check in to see, you know, when you do that, you can actually pinpoint sometimes where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can work from there. It's like what our therapist always says. It's like, you know, when you get that feeling, it's not the person that's triggering it. Like, what is it that you're feeling in that moment? Mm. And have you felt it before?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to think about what you felt before. And you realize that what you're experiencing is just a reaction to old stories.
And it's also
old habits.
Being the observer. So it's about stepping outside of yourself and observing yourself, you know, and asking yourself the question, okay, I'm looking at myself from out here. why am I feeling this way? What's going on?
Yeah, you know? It's the 32,000 feet up, kind of trying to look down. Oh, well, I kind of feel like 35 is the perfect.
It's too high.
It's a little smooth. No, it's much smoother at 35.
It just depends on how the jet wave is, where the turbulence is. Sometimes you're going to go, you know, you're going to go lower or you're going to descend because you find that smoother air.
Have you ever been up to 45? Because
this is a good analogy, by the way, because sometimes you got to go higher to find the smooth air, and then sometimes you got to dip lower.
Yeah.
You never know where that smooth air
is. It's true. You got to find the smooth pockets.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is a good analogy. I like it.
It's true. We need like a little, we need like a, we need that audio and some
like
funny little
effect?
Drawing. No, like an animated drawing of a plane
right.
going up and down, trying to find.
Right.
You know,
it's and the plane is, the plane represents your emotional self. Mm-hmm. And it's like, woo, like, ooh, some smooth air here. Like, oh shit, it's getting bumpy. Gotta go, you gotta descend.
I like it. I like it. You gotta bring the speed back. You gotta bring the speed back and go low. Each and every, here it is.
Yeah, this is for the stinky people out there who don't want to put all kinds of crap under their armpits.
I'm raising my arm.
All kinds of chemicals and mercuries and just dog shit under your armpits.
I'm raising my arm, and guess what?
You're raising her armpit. I can't even smell you.
I smell amazing.
I can't even smell you. You know why? Because you have each and every on. It's the first, for me personally, it's the first natural deodorant that actually works.
It does.
I've tried it for years. I've put rocks under my arms. That doesn't work. Weird crystals. That doesn't work. Each and every
They have a new limited edition white chamomile and bergamot, which may honestly, do you say chamomile or chamomile?
I say chamomile.
Right. I kind of like chamomile.
Well, chamomile, chamomile, potato, potato.
This is a limited scent. It's really, really yummy. It's a great spring scent. I would definitely recommend it. And I love each and every. I've been loving it. I will only talk about things that I actually use. So this, I would very much for anybody out there who really wants natural deodorant, I would also say to you, please, if you don't use natural deodorant, it's a wonderful step into, you know, putting more healthy things on your body and into your body. Our armpits are direct, you know, the sweat glands right into our lymph nodes. It is very important that we are using natural deodorants. And they're getting way better at making good ones. Each and every has made an excellent one. So it's also founded by women. And I do love supporting women-owned brands.
Six ingredients. That's it. Six safe ingredients. Coconut oil, Dead Sea salt, essential oils. You can pretty much eat it. Don't do that. But, you know, if you get stuck in a bind, maybe just take a bite. So trust us, you're going to love each and every order today. We've got a great offer for our listeners. For a limited time only, get 30% off your first purchase. Go to eachandevery.com/sibling and use promo code SIBLING30. That's 30% off with promo code SIBLING30 at eachandevery.com/sibling.
Dear Kate and Oliver, thank you for this podcast. Sometimes I find it hard to listen to the podcast because I actually don't have a relationship with my siblings or parents. Long story short, I grew up in foster care and was in a different home to my siblings. I've also decided for my own peace to not have a relationship with them or my biological mother because of private matters, and I don't know who my father is. I loved how you touched on that we can reconnect, and I know right now that I'm not in a place to reconnect with my siblings, but I do want to in the future. So it's great that you discussed how. Also, I love that you mentioned that you don't have to reconnect with a relative if it is harmful to your happiness. And that is really great because there's a lot of guilt that is attached to that. Also, I do feel like I hide, that I don't have a relationship with my family members, and I'm glad I'm really not the only one. Thank you for discussing this. I feel seen and heard from Carla.
Oh, man.
Oh, this is so tough.
This is a tough one.
Yeah. there's so many kids in the foster care system. There, it's just wild. Like when you actually start to look into it, it's just so heartbreaking that it's almost like hard to look. It's hard to research because there are just so many kids without homes, without families. And like she's saying, like, you know, how do you reconcile these things? Your biological mother, how do you, mm-hmm. you know, I don't even know where to begin. This is way above my ability to even comprehend what that must feel like.
I would say only this just because of, again, my time at Hoffman, which is there's this, everyone has their story. They're, you know, not that it's right, but there's a reason for why your parents did what they did. And maybe it was something they couldn't control themselves, something that they were affected, how they were affected by their parents and so on. You know, I mean, that's where forgiveness can come in if you can learn their story and maybe get a deeper understanding of who they were and maybe the lack of tools that they had to be able to be parents or to support that relationship, you know.
Yeah.
But again, who knows?
It's also, I mean, that, you know, the cliched thing where everybody who's ever felt any abandonment or neglect or anything like that, it's like, it's not about you, or divorce parents, you know, it's not about you. It was never about you. And that's a really easy thing to say. And it's a hard thing to feel. Mm. And it's like easier said than done. It's like, you totally. Can intellectually know that it wasn't about you, but the programming of it in your brain is like this traumatic, continuous feeling that when something else comes up, it could be something totally and completely different. It triggers that old part of your brain that feels like you aren't worthy, that you mm-hmm. are going to be left, that you don't deserve love, that you, whatever it mm-hmm. is, you know, that is your trick, you know, that is your programming. To deprogram that takes so much work and so much effort and so much dedication. It's just so much easier said than done, but it is right. simply that it wasn't ever about you.
It's like Matt Damon and Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting. He's like, it's not your fault, kid. It's not your fault. Remember, it's not your fault.
Oh my God, and don't even get, I'm going to start crying.
And then Matt Damon's like, dude, I know, whatever. And then he starts screaming, crying. And,
oh, know, that scene. I can scene, relate. That scene made me lose it.
Yeah.
I'm crying just thinking about that scene. Oh, and Robin Williams too.
I know.
But yeah, you know, you everybody deserves a good life. You're born into this world deserving the best. And anything that doesn't give you anything other than that isn't about you, it's about someone else.
I also think though, I like what you said, you know, with how it's easier said than done. You know, there's a lot to sort of go through to reconcile, or even reconcile with yourself, or understand that it isn't your fault. And but I will say that that doesn't mean you don't start, because at least personally what happens is once you scratch the surface and you learn something, it becomes exponentially easier to keep sliding down. And I mean not sliding down, but keep going down that path, because you start to feel how it works and how it just, you know, bubbles up. And then you're like, oh God, I learned this and I want more. It becomes easier, you know, to at least seek and try to help yourself, at least for me.
This makes me think about how many people really suffer from feeling alone. There's just so many people who don't feel seen and heard, and it's just not okay. You know, it's like, you know, as you were talking, I started thinking about purpose. Like, what is the purpose of all of this? Like of all of it, just being here alive, like on this planet, what is the purpose? Like, what are we doing? You know? And I think now more than ever, the openness and being able to talk about feeling loved, like, it's just like, that's it. At the end of the day, that's all anyone really needs, is to feel loved. And when you know, that active verb, you know, love, to love, when I feel loved, it's when I feel seen and heard from someone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so many times in a real way, not in like some bullshit digital era, oh, I feel seen and heard because people are commenting on a post, or oh, I feel so unloved because people are hating on me right now. Not that. I mean real connective.
Like what Gwyneth posted on my account. like that. You know?
It like brings me back to when we interviewed you weren't there, you were sick, but Vivek Murthy and his book about loneliness being an epidemic. And this is a real 101 example of how someone could carry this loneliness into their life when they come from a foster care system. They don't know their siblings. They don't want to have a relationship with their siblings. They don't want to have a relationship with their mother. And then intrinsically, what does that create inside of someone, you know? Or Rowan, who wants to alienate herself from her family. You know, there's a sort of a theme of people feeling alone.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we create a life for ourselves to feel connected?
Mm.
You know, you got to let go of your past shit.
I have an idea.
What?
We create an agency. And in our agency, we have, you know, mothers, daughters, siblings, friends, and we can give people who are lonely what they need. So it's like, oh, you need a mom. Okay, you know, central casting, here you go. How does this one look? Great. You know, we can hire her out. I think it could be a good business. You know, imagine that, right?
So this is so like weirdly, I feel like I just entered Her, like the Spike Jonze movie. You're like on like a screen. You're like, I need a mom. And you like press a mother that looks like the mother that you'd like to have.
Yeah, but imagine like a Black Mirror episode where it's like in the future-ish and everyone's just become hyper lonely. And now there's an agency where you are literally sort of renting out people to sort of, you know, fulfill that. That's trippy.
Yeah, it's also terrifying.
Exactly.
I need a new brother. it's like that's our version of this. It's not even about loneliness. It's like, honestly, I just need to get him out of my life. Like, I need a new brother. No, I would never want a new brother. I don't know what I'd do without you.
It's fine. As long as I stay in your will, you can do whatever you want.
Also, wait, I do want to acknowledge that we got so many emails on the estrangement episode and people sharing their stories. So everyone out there, thank you for sharing this with us. It's so wonderful to be able to talk about this stuff out loud and just get it off our chests. No, there's no shaming here. Whatever side of the story you're on, whether you're the estranger or the estrangee. I don't even know if that's a real thing, but I like it. T-shirts that say that and send one to our dad.
But I like,
he'd
I also
the
like.
Stranger, and we're the estrangees.
That's funny. It's a good shirt, dude. That's what we should swag it out.
Dark and weird.
Or a digital stranger is called an e stranger.
An e stranger.
It's a digital stranger.
Oh, Oliver Hudson. One listener shared their very personal story, but said, I say the whole dang book to say thank you, and you guys aren't alone either. I know what it feels like to be estranged, and I also know what it feels like to want to reconcile. It's a whole host of feelings. Hearing your podcast and your stories has been my light at the end of the tunnel. You've given me friendship with complete strangers and a community of kids, the kid and all of us adults, that are more alike than I could have ever known. Thank you for all that you do with just simply sharing a piece of your lives. Much love, and I wish you guys nothing but the best as fellow kids with complicated parental relationships. Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. We loved hearing that one.
Kate and Oliver, I just want to say thank you so much for all the laughs you bring each week. I started listening to you during quarantine when I took my poor dog for walks a bazillion times each day. You always have a great message, and I find myself walking down the street and laughing out loud during every episode. I often wonder what the people in the neighborhood think when they see me doing that. I have a twin brother. We grew up out in the middle of nowhere, so we only really had each other to play with when we were little. Funny how we never got to play what I wanted, teacher, baker, arts, and crafts. Instead, we played football, cops, and robbers, yep. and had some knockout pillow fights. Yep. Really, I knocked him out once. We loved each other, and we were always together. It worked out well in high school because he could invite over boys I had a crush on, and I could invite the girls. We got older, and we were deciding where to go to college. I wanted to be a teacher, so I was looking at schools that specialize in that. I found a small school and was going to go there. He wanted to go to a larger school and was set to go. One day, I was just sitting in my room, and he came to the door and asked me where I was going to college. I told him I wasn't quite sure, but I thought I was going to go to St. Mary's. He said, I think you should go to MSU. I asked him why, not looking up from what I was doing. He said, because I miss you. I looked up and he was gone. Needless to say, we went to the same college and had a blast together. After college, we moved to separate places. We still stay in touch, but nothing like before when we were always together. Oliver, you remind me so much of him. What you say and your mannerisms, and Kate, that laugh that you do when Ollie says something funny is exactly what I do with my brother. So thank you. I tend to call my brother after I listen to you. It's a great reminder of how much fun we have when we are together. Please keep making more episodes so my poor dog can go on a walk after walk after walk after walk. Love you guys, Jana.
Oh, Jana, we love you too. I love that one. Oh, it makes me a little sad that they're not together, you know, that they're not in the same place. But you know, that he said, because I miss you, and looked up and he was gone. That does make me, it actually does remind me of you. And like the whole thing of like the girls and you know what I mean? Because we were closer in age,
totally.
You know, your friends, and when we were younger,
I know that was a shift. It used to be you at my door, and then it turned into me at your door. You know, your girlfriends.
I know.
Well, you know,
I love this one.
As long as they can continue a relationship, it's life, man. Like, people need to do what they need to do. There's a separation. As long as it's that, as long as that connection's still there. You know,
it's so fun that you know, that we're our podcast, that this like strange little thing we decided to do has resonated. I guess it's like when I see myself on a magazine, I feel totally disassociated from it. It's kind of like it never feels normal. I think the same thing about this podcast. Like, we sit here and we do this and we talk to each other, and we have a blast doing it, and we get to connect. Jana, thank you so much. I love laughing with my brother.
Oh, well, you know, look, I love laughing. I love making people laugh. There are certain people who I love making laugh more than others, and you are definitely at the top of that list. You know, making you laugh is when I can get you to that point of like hard to breathe, sort of hysterics. It's fucking the best. It's you and Pa. And you and Mom, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so fun. but no, and what I wanted to say was, I love to laugh, but it's the opposite of what you're saying. There's few people that make me laugh, like, that I just, it's almost like therapy. Like, it's Oliver and it's Ryder that I laugh with, I think, the most. And Mom. Mom and I will have pee in our pants laughing moments that, like, aren't explainable to anybody but us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where we'll get on one and it's just, that's it. But the therapeutic laughter of life always. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh God.
It's you and Ryder. It's just, it's like every day there's laughter.
Yeah. It's the best.
I mean,
there's nothing like it, honestly. Really. It's healing. There's no doubt about it.
It's like I can't live without it. If I'm feeling heavy, like, and then I realize a lot of times when I'm in a funk, I'm like, I haven't laughed. I haven't been with and around laughter. It's too much weight. You need to vibrate higher. mm-hmm. sometimes. You know, there's a time and a place, but I think daily to have some kind of levity and laughter, it must be some trick to longevity. It's got to be. Listen, this was the best. I loved these emails. Fun. Thank you. Keep writing in. We love hearing you. And one day we hope we can talk to some of you in person or on Zoom.
Yeah, we should do that. Love that idea.
Yeah. And I love you, Ollie Hudson. Goodbye.
Love you too.
Peace.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.